Hello and welcome to Southern Comfort, a SoCom podcast where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. Cole Spivey here, as always, with Will Fleming. Will, you want to say what's up to the people?
What's up, man? What's up, all the listeners? Happy we're back. Going to take a week off or two, and I'm excited to talk about these FCS playoffs and some Southern Conference basketball.
Yeah, and I think kind of going forward up until, you know, we get into SoCon real heavily, that's kind of how you're going to see us, is every 2 weeks or so. Me and Will have picked up busy, busy lives.
Outside, I think job is different.
Yeah. And yes, I mean, that's really what it is. And I think, you know, you're kind of seeing that even in the SoCon. It just kind of feels like things are growing up. Maybe that's just a personal thing. Want to throw at you. I told you how I kind of had a way I wanted to start this one. A little bit different than we normally do. Western Carolina has received a commitment from Santana Fleming. He's the highest ranked commit in school history. He's a wide receiver. But in that is there's an account from a USF, you know, talking about, meanwhile, Kerlin Bell just walked up a four-star wide receiver from Miami. USF doesn't even have a head coach. You know, they want Kerlin Bell to come to USF. Yeah. And thinking about that and then seeing ETSU last year, their head coach, even though he stepped down, you know, leaves. And looking at Samford this year, is that not something you can almost expect guaranteed that their coach would be going somewhere else next year?
You're talking about Samford?
Samford's head coach that just went, you know, 10-1 undefeated in the SoCon. Do you not see him getting a promotion sometime in the near future?
You know what, I don't. And the reason why I don't is because of his tenure at Samford. I think he's a little bit different in this situation. I think he's been there for long enough where I think he wants to be at Samford, if you kind of get it. I mean, he's been there a while and he's won a few things, but let's be real, this is his best year by far. And I don't know, does 1 year solidify you needing to go up to the FBS level? And Cole, that's something we had texted before about this, about Kerwin Bell leaving Western Carolina. You know, Eastern Carolina has an opening, or had, I'm not sure if they still do. You know, South Florida, you know, people are chirping. But my argument to you was, okay, just one solid year, the end of last year, the beginning of this year, does that make you a good enough coach to go to the FBS level? Even though, yeah, he did great, you know, in the NAI or Division III, was it? Or D2, was it, Cole? Over at Valdosta.
Yeah,
D2. Is that going to solidify these boosters enough to say, okay, yeah, no, let's get more money and let's pay this guy more money because of how he did at a different level? I don't know. But for as far as Samford's concerned, I don't think they need to worry about that yet. You know, Coach Sanders left for his own reasons at ETSU. We're paying the price right now for seeing him leave. If I'm Samford, I'm not worried. If I'm Samford, the only thing I'm worried about right now is how far we're going to get in these playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of before we go there, the one more thing I wanted to touch on this, you know, coaches leaving possibility is what – I guess like a carousel SoCon football championships have been, you know, this year, Samford, possibility of maybe their coach going up, ETSU, coach is retired, VMI, coach is gone, Wofford the year before that, coach is gone, three-way tie the year before that, two out of three coaches there are gone. Wofford again in 17, coach gone, Citadel in 2016, that coach is it James Madison now? He's like almost a Power 5 coach. And then Chattanooga twice, that coach is gone, and it's almost looking like
it's a cycle. Yeah.
Well, and then you go back 2013 Chattanooga, and then you go before that 2012 is a three-way tie. Two of those schools are in a group of five now, App State and Georgia Southern. And you know, and where we had maybe been almost spoiled with the continued success that we had had in SoCon basketball. It's really to see that in football, it really is a carousel. Speaking of, you know, the carousel, there's two teams still on their horse, Furman and Samford. Do you want to talk? Which one do you want to talk about first there, Will?
Cole, if you would have told me Furman is playing in the second of the FCS playoffs and they're sitting 10-2, before the year started, I would have called you crazy, honestly. Furman's picked up a lot of success this year. Quietly, I think they've picked up the success. I don't think they've picked it up, you know, besides their game against VMI where they won 41-3 and their game against Furman, they've not really done anything necessary, I think, to make me feel like they are a 10-2 team. However, Furman has a good shot to make some noise this weekend. So they, you know, they played the in-state rival Elon last weekend, won 31-6, owned the game, really played very well. Defensively played well, only allowing, you know, two field goals, no touchdowns. However, they're going on the road to Incarnate Word. And for us Southern Conference guys who have no clue who or what or where or why Incarnate Word, they're 10-1 and they're in San Antonio. They're a long way away. They're a really, really good football team. Cole, they may not play everybody. They don't, let's be real, their strength of schedule is not good. The only time they've played a winning team, they got beat. And the second time, well, actually, they played two winning teams this year. One being Southern Illinois, their first game of the year, won 64-29. That sounds like a really bad basketball score. And then the second time they played Southeast Louisiana, who, in which Sam Samford plays this weekend, and Southeast Louisiana beat them on a last-second touchdown pass. It wasn't even a Hail Mary, just a few broken tackles. They got beat 41-35. Cole, for those of you who don't know, Incarnate Word passes the ball like Samford used to, even more. So if you go back to the 5th of – you go back to the 5th of November, Cole. Don't know if you saw it. They played Houston Christian University. Okay. They were up 70-6 at halftime. Okay. And that's 10 touchdown passes. Okay. Cole, that's unbelievable.
And Lindsey Scott Jr. on the season threw for 50 and 4 picks.
Yes. So, Cole, regardless of who they're playing, they're throwing the ball and they're throwing it well. Okay. I don't care if you're throwing the ball 50 touchdowns with 4 interceptions on the entire year, man, you're pretty good. So I'm excited to see what Sam, what Furman can do this weekend against Incarnate Word. I'd love to see if their defense can step it up. I know they have some great cornerbacks. They have a great strong safety over at Furman. What can their interior do? Can they get to the quarterback? This is a really good running quarterback. Leslie Scott, he's a great quarterback. Let's see what Tyler Huff can do. You know, not a lot of numbers for Huff this year, 14 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. What can Ryan Miller do? He's the All-American on that team. Can he step up and make any big plays? Cole, do you predict anything positive for Furman this weekend?
I mean, I think if there's a team to go down there and do it, and then it's an opportunity for Furman to, like you said, they didn't really make a statement all season about, you know, big win. This is an Incarnate Word team that I think a lot of people are high on. And it's an opportunity for the SoCon to go show that they're better than another conference that also got two bids, the Southland Conference. Interesting, SoCon, Southland, both of us are playing them. That'll kind of tie us into Samford getting to host a game. Something I saw on Twitter was first 1,000 students get in free, which is kind of weird. You would think when I went to that ETSU playoff game last year, I got in there for free. I don't know. You would think you'd pack the stadium.
The only thing I can think of, you know, students having to pay would be because it's an NCAA game. It's a playoff game. Shit, I'm just going back to high school where, you know, when you're in the playoffs, you got to pay. All the students have to pay because it goes to the TSSAA or whatever, you know, the board is of your state. Regardless of having to pay or not, or how many students are at the game, it's a smaller school. So, you know, that could be another thing. But this is a good opportunity to show that we are the better conference. A, you know, they got two teams in, and they're the only two teams with a winning record in their entire conference. The closest other winning record was 5-6, and that was Texas A&M Corpus. I think it's Texas A&M Commerce. Who got beat by Tennessee Tech in the OVC, who was another team that, funny enough, their closest game was against Samford this year.
So, A&M Commerce, they just came up.
They did just come up. They were a Division II school last year. So they're not even eligible for playoffs, and they finished midway through their conference. As far as that Southeast Louisiana team, similar to last year, they're throwing the ball a lot. They had Ryan Kelly may have been their quarterback last year, if I'm not mistaken. And he threw the ball just like Incarnate Word did last year, a gazillion times. They're throwing the ball a lot, but truly, Samford's the better team. And I honestly would not be surprised. Of course, it's going to be high scoring because that's honestly, that's Samford in the past, not necessarily this year. But I do see it being high scoring for Samford. If they can get a few stops on defense, they win the game easy, I think.
Well, the concern for Samford there, if you remember that overtime against Mercer, Harris went out. You know, obviously we don't have the reporting at this kind of FCS level, so we're not sure what his health looks like. You know, he's a guy that quite literally put them on his back, 35 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. Shredded pretty much every SoCon defense he played. I mean, if that guy's out, I don't know if Samford has a chance in winning, but if he's playing, it's much must-see television.
I agree. And Of course, being in the Southern Conference, you know, we're gonna have to play the North Coast States of the world in the, you know, in the third round. But this is a huge opportunity for Samford to show everybody that they are, you know, legit. And they're not the Samford of the past. They have a good defense. Like I said, the new defensive coordinator has done an incredible job this year. We didn't really touch on it, but that Samford Mercer game may have been the game of the year, man. I'm talking, I mean, that was incredible. Went to a few overtimes, and I tell you what, that was a really, really cool a game to end the year on if you're Samford, especially on that big win down on the road at Mercer. Cole, what do you take away from this game? Who's going to win it?
I would like to see Samford win. I think they will.
I
And
think they will.
I think Furman might end up, you know, losing there and there, just to be honest. And then Samford has to take on the juggernaut in the next round.
Yeah. And honestly, before we go on, North Coast State's not the team that they were, that they have been. I was talking to somebody on Twitter, like, oh, well, I think we are. I don't think so at all. They're still struggling. They're not as developed as they were last year. If anyone's going to beat them, I think Samford has a very, very good option to do it.
And speaking of Samford and moving on to basketball, we might have just lost listeners for that transition, but they play tonight and they're 3.5 point dogs to DePaul. Now, if they had won Sunday, I think they would be favored in that game. I would take Samford as favorites, but they managed to lose to an NAIA school, Tennessee Southern. 84-82, not even a scheduled game for them. That's an exhibition for Tennessee Southern. And if you schedule four non-D1s in your first six games and you don't win all four of them, it's not a good look. Obviously, without Quace Glover and Jermaine Marshall, but you got a so-called player of the year. You have Bubba Brown on the team. And what do you have to say about that one, Will?
Cole, what I'm scared for with Samford, do you think they have too many dogs in their team? Do you think Bubba Parr may not have been the greatest
They still had
addition?
two preseason all SoCon guys on the court and
I
lost
get
to an
that, but
NAIA
do you think
school.
Bubba Parham takes the ball out of Quest Glover's hands too much? You gotta wonder, because if you have too many shooters on the floor, something bad's gonna happen. And I think we're foreshadowing into the future of ETSU right now. But Cole, I mean, talk about, but hey, they finally played a decent team in Louisiana Tech. They get beat. Okay, then they next home game, and it's, hey, we've all done it. We've all overlooked opponents. But man, losing to an NAIA school,
But
84-82, it's not
they
like it
had
wasn't just
two all-conference players still in
on
that
the
game,
floor. I
Logan Dye
agree.
and Bubba
I
Parham, and
agree.
they.
Cool, I'm with you. I think DePaul gets the win tonight, and I don't think it's going to be by just 3.5, honestly. Again, was Quez Glover hurt? I don't think so. I think they just rested them. I'm not sure. Do you know if they were hurt?
I have no clue. But you know, kind of maybe the last comment here on Samford, time-wise, you know, you mentioned the shooters and the capability of the players that you have. Quality of coaching then comes into concern, and you've got a guy who's in his year three of coaching college ball, and you know, maybe if you have a more timely coach, you know, senior coach, he's kind of better handling things like that than maybe. And that's Bubba Parham that's coming back from 3 years of ACC ball and an ACC championship with Georgia Tech. So you know, I can't see an excuse there. And you know, it really puts some question marks around Samford wanting to win that title, but then also maybe this is their low point in the season for redemption. Speaking of teams winning the title, I think this is, you know, this was a favorite preseason Furman. And I mean, I don't know how to feel about Furman. I think their blemish so far in the season is a loss to Old Dominion. They had a great opportunity to beat Penn State, and then both of those losses were close. And that's, you know, their only two losses on the season. Is it? What do you think about Furman?
I think Furman is the right now the front runner in the league, especially after that Samford loss. I think we've seen that Furman, if Furman can get a little bit of depth, I think they're going to be that team, Cole. It's the question that I ask every year: are they going to just blow it in Asheville like they usually do? This year, dude, I'm going to start saying I don't think they will. I think they're the chance. I think right now, if the year's over, if we're going to Asheville right now, I know it's very early. It's crazy to even say this, but we're going to Asheville right now. I think Furman walks away the champion. Obviously, the depth is an issue at Chattanooga. The depth is an issue, honestly, all around the conference. It seems like we're a very front-heavy five, front-heavy starting five, and there's nothing. The drop-off is tremendous. That's my takeaway. I mean, Mike Bothwell is an absolute dog. I watched him against App State last night. Absolute dog. Cole, do you have his stat line from last night by any chance?
Man, I Mike Bothwell last night, 23 points on 6 of 14 shooting, 3 assists and 2 rebounds, and he's averaging 20 a night right now, like
It's
65%.
unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
He's playing really well, and you know, kind of a comment also on Furman. They've got a guy that left the program 2 years ago after hitting a buzzer beater. Noah Gurley is playing at
Yeah.
Alabama. Man, could you imagine that team? Whew. That would be, and I think that's kind of what we're missing this year in the SoCon, and potentially the portal exodus has kind of created that. But I think me and you talked about it. It's not a loaded SoCon like it was before. You know, you don't have arguably the best backcourt in the con in the nation with
No.
David Jean Baptiste and Malachi Smith, or a 30-4 ETSU team, or an undefeated in conference Wofford team, or a Duncan and flying high ETSU, or the powerhouses Chattanooga had even prior to that. You
Don't
don't
forget UNCG either.
that. Isaiah, you don't have the best defensive player in college
You don't
history.
have an Isaiah Miller anymore in this league. Cole, moving on from the Isaiah Miller comment, I'm going to go to ETSU really quick. For those of you who have been watching ETSU this year, it's been an up and down year. We dropped one to Georgia by 15 last game. No one's talking about it, and I don't know why. King is our biggest issue, and that's my opinion, but I think it is pretty valuable. Let me just read you his. Hey, before I go on deep into this, Jordan King was our guy last year. And the minutes Jordan, he's playing upwards of 35, 36 minutes a game. He played
He
all
played the
40
whole
against
game
Georgia.
against Georgia.
Played
That's
all 40
crazy.
against Georgia. And that's someone who said, but we don't need him to take the shots he's taking this year. Okay, cool. So let me just read his stat line this year. So first game of the year, 3 for 17. Second game of the year against Elon, we're 4 for 12. Louisiana, we're 5 for 16. Little Rock, we're 4 for 13. Tech, we're 8 for 19. That's his best shooting performance of the year. App State, 3 of 9, played 35 minutes, and then Georgia, 6 of 19. Cool.
That's a beatable Georgia team, too.
It's a very beatable Georgia team, and if we play the way we should play, if he could dish the ball, he was 1 of 9 from 3. And I get, hey, this guy last year was our 3-point guy, and he hit a lot of them. Okay, and when he's hot, he's a great player, and I'm gonna be the first one to say it. When he's hot, he's a great player. But at some point, he's got to look to pass the ball first. Cole, I'm going to talk about the way that Pat Good used to be back on that 30 and 14. Cole, if he was off, he learned to pass the ball. Okay. We benched him at one point during the year, and then we brought him back. He and Trey Boyd both. If they were off, and this is hard for Trey to do, especially, we passed the ball. Okay. Man, Jordan King, I think, is our biggest issue right now. And I hate to say, because I like him as a player, and he seems like a fun guy to play with, fun guy to watch on TV. But man, when you're shooting the ball 1 of 9 from 3, 6 of 19, that's just, there's got to be some bad shots in there. And there have been a lot of them. Okay. With that being said, I think Jalen Haynes is still by far our best player. I mean, he's cooking against Power Five opponents. He went 9 of 11 with 21 points against Chattanooga. That's the third or fourth time he's had good numbers like that this year. Cole, I mean, like I said, I think that's going to be the solution to our team if we're playing a night against Mars Hill. Or maybe, hey, tonight, maybe he can shoot his way out of this slump. Okay. I hope he does for our sake. But he shoots the ball well, we win the games. And I don't think we're going to be 3 and 4. I think we'd be even close to being 5-2 or maybe 6 and 1 if he shoots the ball well. Cole, do you have anything to say about it?
I not really, man. I haven't had the opportunity to watch much ETSU basketball. I think that speaks to itself, and I think that is going to kind of be a theme for all of these teams. You know, Quase Glover, Mike Bothwell, any of those players, if they start to struggle, you're going to see that team struggle. You know, like we talked about, that it is very one dynamical, I feel, on teams this year, where they've got one piston, one engine. Speaking of teams that are struggling, this is a team that actually received, you know, votes to win the conference, and I think people called him a sleeper. UNCG is, they have a losing record, and they haven't really, 3-4, and they've played winnable games. They could use Isaiah Miller bad, man.
No kidding.
Blown out by SF Austin, like a 15-point loss to Hofstra, and they beat Montana State by 11. I don't understand what they're doing playing in Canada.
To me, Cole, I'm cool with it. They're playing against quality opponents. And I mean, just going on with how they're struggling, A little surprised, honestly. I think they have a good backcourt. And I haven't gotten able to watch, been able to watch too much. But man, only scoring 58 points and then, 53 points. And I get they like to play that slower pace often. But man, when you score 53 points twice, I mean, that's just, you got to get something better on offense. Like you said, they could really use an Isaiah Miller or someone that could be very dynamic. And honestly, I thought the Langley Twins would be that option this year.
Yeah, and I mean, you still haven't seen much from Kobe. He really hasn't kind of played as well as his brother. Chandre Kennedy for that team is averaging 15 and 7 as a guard. He's playing pretty well, a senior transfer in. I think that team, like you said, if they're slowly maybe getting away from, what they did in those Isaiah Miller, Wes Miller days, where 58, 53, even 65 against Miami, scoring that was enough to win games. They were holding teams to 30s, 40s.
It was the defensive struggle.
And they did it strategically. I remember we played them 2 years ago, 3 years ago, my senior year. They let Carlos Dotson score like 34 points, but as a team, we had like 48. So they knew you could do certain things and not beat them. And maybe that's kind of what they're searching for here.
And again, I think that goes back to, of course, to Wes Miller basketball. I mean, he's an incredible mind when it comes to basketball. I hope he fails anywhere he goes. I don't like him. I don't miss him being in the Southern Conference, though. But like you said, I mean, the very defensive-minded team at the time. But I mean, you got to look at your seniors. Your guys have been there for a minute. Muhammad Abdul Salam has been there, I feel like, for 30 years now. He's got to step up a little bit. Only having, and maybe his game's not necessarily scoring. And of course, he does things better off the stat sheet, but you got to
But
get some sort
stepping
of
up is
leadership.
limiting scoring on the other end, and you're not, that's where you've succeeded so far, and you haven't.
Exactly.
Speaking of teams, kind of we're down here at the end. We might as well talk about them. VMI. I tweeted earlier in the year, and I think this is a lot of schools right now. VMI lost a close one to Davidson. And I was like, oh man, maybe they're not going to be in the cellar. But then Longwood beat them by 30. SIU beat them by 30. Fairleigh Dickinson, which is a tournament team, only beat them by 4. They beat Regent by 50, and then they got demolished by Presbyterian last night. And it's they're all young, man. Asher Woods, he's shooting 40%. He's averaging 14 a game. Sean Conway, he's averaging 12 on 46 and 5 rebounds. I think that's a guy you want to see step up more. He's a senior. He's been there. He was. He's been on teams that won, and you put the ball in players that have experience and in their hands, and then they find a way to win. But is there anything positive you can say about VMI?
You take, I mean, besides their close loss to Davidson, I don't think so. This is the team that we thought they would be, honestly, Cole. We heard the rumor mill about the injuries and all that stuff. I don't know. If they can't get out of the slump, I'm worried about what's going to happen, come January, February. Their first two games in conference are against a very good Furman team, and an ETSU team is still strong enough to beat them. So, looking through to December, they got a game against Navy this Saturday. That's going to be, I mean, just looking at history, it's probably going to be a loss. They play Radford at home. Radford's been a tournament team here recently. They play against American University, sitting at 5-2. Fordham's 6-1, one of the best starts Fordham's had in a while. Then they play, Furman and ETSU. So I don't know. I'd be a little bit worried if I was VMI right now. And going back to Sean Conway, that's a guy that's got to shoot the ball more, in my opinion. He's only shooting the ball maybe 8, 9, 10 times a game. And they need those guys back that are shooting the ball plenty more. And he's got to get the ball in the hoop.
I'm not going to go back and check it, but VMI, and they did not beat a D1 team in November. I would love to know the
Correct.
last time that they did not beat a D1 team in the first month of the season.
Correct. And I don't know if they're going to beat a D1 team in December.
And at that point, you start getting nervous, and I didn't, you're not going to get rid of that coach after the first year. He's
No.
got he's brought in some good guys. Asher Woods, he's playing really well, 14 and a half points a game. But the big thing about the freshmen, Asher Woods, Tony Felder, and Tayshaun Jackson. Tayshaun Jackson is the only one shooting over 40% from the field.
Exactly.
You got to get your freshmen, and that'll come with playing time. But as a kind of one of my favorite quotes, you know, kind of for a team when you're not maybe intimidated by them anymore, or they're not as good as they used to be, is Honor Huff, Trey Bonham, Jake Stevens ain't walking through that tunnel tomorrow for VMI. You know, they got to figure something else out because those cats ain't coming back down there anymore. Well, Jake Stevens will be walking through that tunnel, but he'll be wearing a power seat. And speaking of the power seat, man, 3-3 Chattanooga. It is the Jake Stevens team
It's
right
the
now.
Jake Stevens show. Yep.
But what do you think about Chattanooga, Will?
Well, I think Jake has finally said, all right, you know, screw it. I'm gonna have to do everything by myself. Last few games just done very well. They beat Murray State, which honestly, hey, that's a great win, even though Murray State's, you know, not the typical team they have been. But hey, my boy Jake went 27-11
He had 20 in the
shooting
first
it.
half.
20 in the first half.
Triple
I mean,
team.
that's
I
when,
watched that one. He's getting triple teamed and still
yeah.
scoring.
I mean, that's when he said, this team's on my back and I got this. Again, Cole, it's been the same thing all year. They're not getting any help off the bench. Okay. Their prime six man, Jamal Walker, sophomore guard, he got 6 points on 2 of 2 shooting against Murray State, but I mean, they don't get much help. And then they shouldn't have lost to Lipscomb. That's not a loss that I would take too lightly. If I was Chattanooga, I'd be pretty upset about that one. In my opinion, we should, a Southern Conference team should never be losing to one of the ASUN. But again, with that game, only 15 bench points compared to, 49 points in total from their, or 51 from their starters. Jake again with that one, 18 and 10. So back-to-back double-double games. I don't know. I mean, this is a team that I feel like has the opportunity to beat to beat Ole Miss if they play them again, but they got to have the depth. And I think that's been the issue all year. Cole, do you think they can find a way to get that?
The first guy you got to circle on that team sheet, if you're them, you know what Jake Stevens is. Jamal Johnson's got to get going. Dan Earl brought this guy in as he's had success with Bubba Parham. The guy that went to Marshall that played on the team last year that could shoot really well. Honor Huff that's sitting on your bench that you can't play. But Jamal Johnson played at Memphis, Auburn, UAB.
Yeah, this is a
Three
guy
point.
who's played at very good programs.
He shot north of 35% besides his freshman year, all four of those years. He's shooting almost 7 threes a game this year and is shooting 22%. Another guy, me and you talked about, he's kind of had some face mask issues. AJ Caldwell is shooting 30% from the field. You've seen what that guy can do when he plays well. He has got to play better. And if his 3 point per shooting goes up, and Jamal Johnson's 3-point shooting goes up, that leaves a lot more in the paint for Jake, and I think that's kind of their answer. And in that system they're playing with Dan Earl too, you have to have that 3-point shooting be 35-40%. One of my favorite Mark Prosser sayings, we get the ball down low to Carlos, is we're spraying out 35% 3-point shooter, 35% 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Jake Stevens is kicking out the four guys on the wing that are all shooting
And the
35.
issue is they're kicking out to Jake Stevens. He's their best 3-point shooter right now. He's their center.
It's a mess.
It's
Oh man.
unreal.
But if
Cole,
you can get those two guys going, they will have success.
I agree with you. Cole, you want to move on to Mercer?
Yeah, and I've watched a little bit of Mercer. They're also a strange team.
They're so weird.
McCreary there is gonna be good. Kumar Robertson, I'm never gonna be convinced that that guy is good. I think Corrado Jr., he's a guy that has to play well for them. He kind of does it all. 4.6 rebounds, 6 assists, 10 points. I saw somebody comment on Twitter, he's the one bringing the ball up. It looked like the guards, Robertson, McCreary, who's listed as a forward, but he's really kind of playing a guard for them. They don't know the sets, is what someone commented. What do you think about Mercer?
Cool. I agree with you that Mercer's an odd team. I haven't been able to watch too much of them. Jalen McCreary being their best player makes sense. He went to South Carolina for 2 years, just transferred in from Southern Florida last year. They finally got out of their slump of losing games by 2 points. And I'd be happy, for them about that. But again, this is a team that when they're Cole, I think they're going to go 8-8 in conference this year. Maybe, 9 and whatever it is, they're going to be barely above 500 or 500 in conference. I don't see them doing too much.
Well, and they're missing two of their best players, James Gillison and Shannon Grant, have yet to touch the court this season.
That is true. And of course, I think, I mean, those are two key guys. So they get in the game, things would be different. I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do, though. I mean, again, I haven't watched too much about it, but no, I have seen the same little mishaps on offense that you have. And it just kind of makes you ask the question if they do kind of, what is going on, behind the scenes?
We got a little bit less than 10 minutes here. Kind of going to move on. I do want to talk about my catamounts, so I'll throw them out here first. Tyson Claude is looking very Carlos Dotson-esque, averaging 15 points and 9 rebounds on 51% from the field. And, I mean, that's your asterisk there, as I say, Carlos Dotson-esque, because you remember Carlos. He about didn't miss a shot. And 70% from the free throw line is not too bad for a big man, but I swear every time I watch us play and the announcers say, Tyson Claude at the free throw line, he misses every time. I don't know how much you've gotten to see us play, but we've got five guys that are shooting north of 35% from three: Trey Jackson, Russell Jones, Montarius Woolbright, Tyler Harris, and Bernard Pelote, who does not miss from the corner. What are your thoughts on this Catamounts this year?
I mean, you're very athletic, and I think you got to ride your athleticism this year, Cole. Again, you just mentioned you got to mention your 3-point shooting, and obviously you live and die by it, but if you continue to be hot, I think you're going to turn some heads this year. I mean, obviously you played a very good UNC Asheville team, and there's that one guy named Drew Pember who's also really, really good.
Benched and, two of our better players in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be as good as he decides to be, but. The thing with the Catamounts, you play a lot of guys. It seems like you're playing about 10 guys a game, and that's something very impressive. And that's something that's going to, honestly, you need to ride that going into deep in the Southern Conference season.
Yeah, we got a freshman, DJ Campbell. He's pretty good off the bench there. And the big thing for them, like you said, we're going to live and die by that three-pointer all year. We could come into Johnson City and beat ETSU by 10, and then y'all could come into Colowee and hold us to less than 25%, and we might not score 50. We have Gardner Webb tonight. I got to shout out my boy Thomas Leffler. He was a 4-year manager at Western Carolina. He's now a G8 Gardner Webb, kind of like a coming home ceremony for him. A 1-5 Gardner Webb team, that is good. It would be a big win for us. And talking about beating teams that are good, Wofford did everything but beat LSU Sunday. And that's a team that they looked a little shaky with the loss to High Point Drake, but then they'd won three straight before a close loss to LSU. And we called him out 2 weeks ago. BJ Mack has been that guy.
I think they must have listened, Cole. BJ Mack's turned things around, but going back to Jake Pavelecki, this kid may be the real deal, dude. I mean, another freshman, like we said, from Wisconsin, looks the part, right? Playing, 35 minutes, 7-10 shooting with 19 points against a Power 5 in LSU, and not a bad LSU either, 6-1 LSU. Like you said, they did everything but win the game. Carson McCorkle stepped up, at 29 minutes, playing with 11 points. Again, I'd like to see them beat North Greenville by more than 11, but, you got to take it as it is. But, again, being a good Gardner Webb team, that's not too bad. I mean, their record doesn't show how they play this year. And then be the North Carolina A&T. And I will say, Wofford has 8 games in December, one against at Vanderbilt. That's a game they're circling, thinking they're going to win that game. Cole, what are you thinking about that one?
Yeah, I think they think they can beat them. And after your performance, I don't know why you don't think you can beat Texas A&M either.
I agree.
They scheduled a lot of SEC schools, it seems, here. And I do want to apologize to Jay McCauley. I think I was a little harsh on him last episode after they, maybe lost some games that they shouldn't have. This team should have beat Drake and should have beat High Point if they can go down there and play with LSU. But yeah, I swear he must take like a month during the summer and go to Wisconsin and look for this guy, because it's every year he has the Jake Pavelecki. Just that guy is always there. And I think it's been, I don't know if they've got like a underground pipeline or something that goes to Wisconsin, a direct flight maybe that's straight in Spartanburg, but they always have that tough as nails guy that's going to get them, 16-4 and kind of run the show. And the last team that we haven't talked about, which really is a disservice to have not talked about them until now, the Citadel. Minus getting blown out by Butler, man. They've been good. Well,
they've been a good team, dude. It's good to see Elsa do things. Their strength of schedule has not been too amazing. I mean, playing against IUPUI is the worst Division I, team there is. But, hey, they put up good numbers against them. They're 174-53 on the road to Denver. They're playing weird teams. They're playing teams that people typically don't play. They're playing New Orleans, Denver, IUPUI. It's good to see them branch out a little bit outside the conference a little bit. But, like you said, outside of being blown out by Butler, having pretty good looks. I mean, they get beat by Clemson by 11. I think we're going to see what they can do tonight against Charleston Southern, only going a little bit down the road playing them. They're 3-point underdogs. I'm excited, man. Stephen Clark, he stepped up this year. Good to see him, 16 points, averaging about 7 rebounds a game. Good to see him, and he's playing plenty of minutes. And then, of course, you have Austin Ash, who's the senior. He's playing good ball too.
Yeah, and I mean, that 3-point loss to Denver is the only real game that's winnable for them that they didn't win. And you mentioned playing a team like IUPUI, and you can say, oh, they're the worst D1 team, but they did beat a D1 team, and there is a school in the conference that did not manage to do
That
that
still
in the
has
month of
not.
November. Man, I think that really kind of sums it up for SoCon basketball, where we're at. If I had to ask you, if you're waking up on and it's the first week of March, it's Sunday. What two teams are you turning on your television to watch? Who's it going to be in the
Is it
championship?
based on the season right now, or is it what I want it to be?
It can be what you want it to be. It can be what you think it is. I think, if let's say what you think it is, because we would both say, ETSU and Western's played in the championship. But which two teams do you think?
As of right now, it's going to be Furman and call me crazy, Wofford.
I like that. I think Wofford's kind of due.
Wofford's a team that every single year they surprise us. And I'm telling you what, they do it every season. They always go deeper than we expect. Jake Pazilewski or whatever his name is, it is that guy. I'm excited to see what he can do towards the end of the season, especially. Is he going to be the guy, the freshman this year, or is someone else going to step up? Cole, who's your two?
Man, I'm kind of going to go with what I think would be a fan favorite. Samford and Furman is who I want to see in the title game, man. Samford, you haven't really played anybody, but man, they played an instant classic last year, ending in the Clayce Glover
Oh,
injury and the
man.
almost and almost was. But we just mentioned four teams and didn't mention the player of the year at all. So hey, it's going to be interesting. I think a Samford Furman would be great to watch, and I think we would be seeing prime time Quace Glover like never before. That guy might score 40 that night, and him and Mike Bothwell just might go at it.
I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing primetime Quez Glover this year. I'm looking forward to the end of March. I'm or the beginning of March rather. I'm stoked for the conference tournament this year and for hey, any Southern Conference play.
Man, I can't wait for the season to start and new conference play to open up. December, the end of it, can't hurry up enough. You can do whatever you want and out of conference play, but you don't really start telling people how it's going to be until you go into Greensboro and beat UNCG or you roll into Furman and upset the Paladins.
Cole, anything else before we sign off?
And that's really where I want to leave it, man. These are the games you have to win, once the season starts, and that's kind of where
Agree.
everyone's looking.
Hey, I want you all to let us know, what do you think of my take at ETSU? You think Jordan King is the issue? Do you think I'm crazy? Do you think I'm being too harsh? Before we go, I also want to shout out my Michigan Wolverine. Shout out my boy Brad Robbins. He's the punter of Michigan. Didn't have to punt too much last week against Ohio State. Gonna win the national championship. Y'all heard it here first. Hey, I'm excited for the Southern Conference this year, Cole. And thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you guys for listening. We got less than a minute here. I'm going to end it on just spurning Will. Also, leave a comment. Do you think ETSU football will have enough players to play next year?